That was awesome. I'd like for you to turn to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter 20. That's where we're going to start here. We've considered a few things over the past few weeks. We've looked at Jesus Christ as the first fruits offering. Jesus Christ as the firstborn from the dead. Firstborn. This day have I begotten thee. It is Jesus Christ around whom God, because of his obedience, because of the obedience of Jesus Christ, that God has framed and prepared the ages. It's Jesus Christ who God has set above all principalities, powers, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. He is head of the church, of his body, and one day all of us are going to get gathered in Christ, who is the expressed image of God himself. And we've also seen how that it's Jesus Christ who has been given the authority to give this life of the age. And we closed with Colossians 3. Our life is hid in Christ. We're going to revisit some of those things, I think a little bit down the road. But this morning what I want to do is I just want to continue with some things regarding the life of this age. And some of its characteristics. We don't know everything. We don't, as a matter of fact, we know very little. Some of it is just so far beyond what we are able to understand at this time. But, you know, with many of these things, God gives a little peek. It's like, and so, you know, we get to see that. And it's just breathtaking. So we're just going to have some fun. I love looking at this stuff. I trust you guys do too. Because nothing in this life, nothing about that comes up or whatever is not even worthy to be compared. And you know, and sometimes we think of that in terms of the negative. You know, the negative things that happen in life and how they just, it doesn't make a, but you know what? The great things in this life, they're not worthy to be compared either. See, with the glory that is going to be revealed to us, it's going to be amazing. But to begin, I want to start in Luke chapter 20. This is a record where, you know, he's kind of going at it with the religious leaders, and they wanted to trick him. They were feigning themselves as righteous men, as just men, like they were going to fool Jesus Christ. But I want to pick it up in verse... Well, let's see. Let's start in verse 27. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection. And they asked him. You had two primary sects. Pharisees, they held themselves up as the protectors of the law. The Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in any of that. They were sort of like the high society guys, willing to compromise with anybody to front themselves in this life, in this world. Kind of draw a little picture of what these guys were like. And the reason why they were so sad, you see, is because they didn't believe in a resurrection. I'm glad I can't see your faces right now. Anyway, so they deny there's a resurrection, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die, having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brothers. The first took a wife, died without children. The second took her to wife, he died childless. Third, like manner, all the way to the seventh. And they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Well, she outlived them all, huh? Verse 33, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. This is really a ridiculous question. And it was born of ignorance and foolishness. But something I want to point out about this is that their concept of this life, their concept of resurrection life, is that it was simply a continuation of this type of life, the type of life that we have here. And Jesus Christ is going to address that. Because the life of the age is nothing like life here, this life. And Jesus answering and said unto them, the children of this aeon, age, marry, and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that age and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. They are children of God. They are equal unto the angels in that they cannot die. They cannot die. Then it says, now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he called the Lord God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto him. See? He was the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, because all of them will be raised. He is their God. Just like if you and I were to fall asleep, we are in Christ. It's done. And when he returns, we're going to be gathered together with him. Isn't that something? But sometimes I've seen over the years where this verse sometimes is troubling, or they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Relationships in this life are based on time and space. They really are. For instance, an example is, I was a baby. I had a mother. I had that relationship. As I grew, I was a young boy and friends. And as I continue to grow, young man. See, I was a son. Then I became a father. See? Now I'm getting older. Now I got grandkids. I'm a grandparent. See, resurrection life is nothing like this. There's much we don't know, but this we know. We will not be disappointed in that life that awaits, in that resurrection life, that life of the age. But I also want to note that he is the God of the living, not of the dead. There is a resurrection. Abraham saw it. He looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. It's just awesome. It's very, very real. I want you to turn now, please, to John chapter 8. Gospel of John chapter 8. And we're going to begin in verse 43. This is another record of these religious leaders going after the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to entrap him in his words. And really, they wanted to kill him, which comes out in this record. This is quite a chapter. It's pretty loaded with things. But I want to start in verse 43. And it says, why do you not understand my speech? even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts or the desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Remarkable. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory, but there is one that seeks and judges. Verily, verily, and this is what I wanted to get to. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, this is one of those verses that is, for the most part, pretty misunderstood. And it's important, that's where this comes, where this becomes important to understand that it's the word aeon is used here. You don't see it in the English. They just incorporate it into the word never because of the at time incorrect definition of this word, that it is an unlimited period of time. That is not the truth. It is a period of time, not necessarily eternal. The age we live in, for an example, is not eternal. It has an end, and we're going to be there, and it's going to be really wild. Anyway, but so I want to handle this a little bit. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, the words shall never see death. This is how it's broken down. The words shall never. Although you don't see it in the English, in the Greek, it is ou mi aeon. Ou mi. That's like no, no. It's a double negative. Absolutely never. Okay? The word aeon is age. Okay? So, it's ou mi aeon. The word see is the word thoreo, and it means to observe, to contemplate, to consider. Experiencing it can also be involved, but it's used a lot of experience or thinking or contemplating. Behold, the word when the women went to the tomb, they gazed on the sepulcher. They just gazed. That's this word thoreo. See, so understanding that, what it means here is that those who keep his saying will never, ever, or absolutely never consider, contemplate, or experience death in the age. See, isn't that something? Shall absolutely never in the age see death, is how this could be best translated. And we just saw in Luke 20 that there is no death, that in that resurrection life, see, cannot die. So regarding that life of the age to come, this life is received at resurrection. Okay? In that resurrection life, we'll never, ever consider or see death anymore. It was Jesus Christ that accomplished everything that was necessary for God to prepare or frame the ages to come, including the life of that age. This is part of that purpose. All that God purposed in Christ, which we're going to consider more as we continue with this. But for right now, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 6. In light of what we've just read, Romans chapter 6. There's so many places we could go. It's just, but I wanted to read this. This is the great section here at the beginning of this chapter. Our total identification with Jesus Christ. A few weeks back, when we were, I think it was Resurrection Sunday, and we talked about how Moses was identified with, or Israel was identified with Moses. It was Moses that did the acts, but Israel were baptized into Moses. They were totally identified with him. They reaped all the benefits of Moses believing. So it is with us. We are baptized into Christ. When he died, we died with him. When he was raised, we were raised with him. It's just awesome. But it says, verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin, or freed from the sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin, or the sin, once. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise, or just like this, reckon yourselves also to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Jesus Christ, is how we should read. Our Lord is not in the critical Greek text. In Jesus Christ. See? Our life is hid in Christ. We will be raised, should we fall asleep before the gathering. We will be raised because he was raised. We will be made incorruptible, should he come back while we're alive, because he was made incorruptible. You know, in Revelation, as a matter of fact, let's turn there. Book of Revelation. Then we're going to go to the Gospel of John. But I want to read this. I think down the road here, we're going to come back to this book and consider a few things. But the book of Revelation, chapter 1, this is so awesome. This is John, and of course he is receiving this revelation from the messenger of Jesus Christ. But there comes a point here, and we're going to pick it up in verse 17. And when I saw him, okay, and you're going to figure out who the him is real quick here. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am the first and the last. You know, it's really remarkable. He's the firstborn from the dead. And he's the last Adam. He's it. We're going to look at it. Well, I'll save that. We're going to look at another verse in Philippians. But I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, or for the age. I think literally this one is for the ages of the ages. Amen. And then he says, I have the keys of hell or the grave. I have the keys of the grave and of death. See, he's been given that authority. Isn't that amazing? That's our Lord. We're in him. We are in him. Now, I want you to turn to the Gospel of John. So, just in light of some of the characteristics of this life of the age, we will never again have to contemplate, consider death. We are freed. in that life, in that resurrection life. Here in John 17, we're just going to read a couple of verses of this incredible prayer that you know, we get insight in. I mean, this is incredible how God has revealed this prayer that Jesus Christ had. But he says in let's start in verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power or authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal. This is eternal life. And what it's speaking to here in verse 3 is the purpose. Its purpose. Its purpose is that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Isn't that something? That's the purpose of eternal life. That's where this is going to end. We are going to know God, and we are going to know our Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to be completely and totally revealed to us. We are going to know and see him whom God purposed or framed the ages around. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Ah! It's just awesome. I want you to turn to, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. This is a great verse, and most of you are familiar with it, but I want to handle it. Or at least touch on it. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to begin. This is great. Let's pick it up in verse 12. All of this is available and accomplished by the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us adequate or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And one of those things that is our inheritance is the life of that age. We'll see that at some point. But that's part of it. Who hath delivered us from the authority of darkness and hath translated us or given us citizenship into the kingdom of his dear Son. In whom, his dear Son, we have redemption, and it should read, even the forgiveness of sins. Nothing owed. Totally released from the sin. We read about it in Romans. Who, regarding his Son, is the image. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature or created being. Some translations handle this as the firstborn over creation. But it's speaking, well, let's go down to verse 18 and see regarding him. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He's the first. In all things, he will have preeminence. Jesus Christ, it says in Hebrews, is the expressed image. See, here it is the image of the invisible God. Isn't that something? Jesus Christ is the image or the expressed image of God. Remember when he said to Philip, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, in this age, Jesus Christ is going to exactly reflect the glory of God himself. Isn't that something? As his Son. That he might have preeminence in all things. That's our Lord. That's who we're attached to. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 on our way back to the Gospels. Philippians chapter 3. So, we're not going to be subject to death. Jesus Christ has all authority over death. But I wanted to read this, and we're in the kingdom of his dear Son. In verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. They are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Not a good place to be. But then it says, our citizenship, our conversation, it's the word for citizenship, is in heaven. From whence also we look. It's a patient eagerness. We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile or humiliated body, that it may be fashioned, have the same form, like unto his glorious body or body of glory, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. See? And we'll see that in 1 Corinthians. But God has given him authority over death. He's given him authority to give the life of the age. He has given him the power that all things are going to be subdued to him. Isn't that something? And we wait for him, and it is this humiliated body. And it's humiliated because of Adam's transgression. This body is not what God intended it to be. But we're going to have a body fashioned like unto his body of glory. Now, we don't know a lot about that body of glory. But we can read some things. We can read some things. And it's not necessarily going to help you understand, because this is so far beyond what we understand, what we see. But we're not going to be disappointed. And it is a body of glory. It's a body of honor rather than this humiliated body. Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn to Luke, Gospel of Luke 24. We're not going to read this whole record, but for the sake of time, we're going to read a little bit of it. You know, you've got records in the Gospels. What is it, Luke 24. And we looked at one a few weeks ago. When Jesus Christ showed himself to Mary. And she didn't recognize him. She thought he was the gardener. Now it says her eyes were held. You know, I don't fully understand what that means. But there was a point at which she recognized him. It's such a great record. The record, and actually it's here in Luke. We're not going to read it. But in Luke 22, it's the men, and you guys are familiar with this record, but it was the men on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus Christ walked up to them, and they didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was. They thought he was a stranger. And said, you know, he said, whoa, why are you so troubled? And so they explained it. Don't you know? Of course, then Jesus Christ goes on to expound all the scriptures concerning himself. Boy, what a class that must have been. But then they constrained him to eat, and it says he broke bread. And their eyes are open, they realize, and boom, he vanished out of their sight. I don't know. See? But we're going to see in a few minutes, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians here. But these are different things involved with a spiritual body. A spiritual body. But I wanted to read this, and this is toward the end of Luke 24. And it is in, did I say Luke 22 earlier?
Yeah.
I meant 24, I'm sorry. Luke 24, verse 35 is where I want to start. These are the men who got back. These were the two on the road to Emmaus, verse 35. They got to the disciples. They told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace unto you. Huh. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, and I get this. I get this. Because they were in the depths of sorrow. The one in whom they had pinned everything on had been beaten beyond recognition, murdered in the most hideous way, and here he is alive. It is me. It is me. Ah! It must have been incredible. Anyway, and they believed not because of the joy and wondered, and he said to them, hey, you got something to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it. And he ate before them. You know, this verse cracks me up. You know, they're just, here he is. And he's the only one eating. They're all like, he's eating. I love this record. The resurrected Christ. You see records where it says in 1 Corinthians that he appeared unto above 500 brethren at one time. You know? And I expect he taught God's word. See? So we get these little glimpses into this resurrection life, into this body of glory that Jesus Christ had. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. This is kind of a mind blower because it was this spiritual body with which Jesus Christ did what we're going to read here. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, is that what I want? Yes, not verse 16 though. We're going to pick it up in verse 18. It says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. This is beautiful because in the Greek, the word just is singular and the unjust is plural. That's something. The one for the many. The just for the unjust. That he might bring us to God. That's the purpose. Being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by which this life, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. I don't understand this completely, but it appears that these spirits that were imprisoned had violated some spiritual law, something, and were involved in that period of time when every thought of man was wicked. See, but the promise of that Christ had been given all the way back in Genesis, and these spirits, these devil spirits, knew that promise. And the efforts that went on to kill all of mankind, to take them out, and to prevent that Christ in coming manifested itself or shows up in God's word in a few places, this being one of them, where the thought of every thought of man was evil continually. But these spirits were imprisoned. And Jesus Christ came. He, and this word preach basically means he just showed himself. here I am. It's done. It's finished. Isn't that something? But it's that new body that enabled him to do that. It's just, you know. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm not going to read all of this, but there is a section I wanted to read. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to start in verse 35. Again, you know, we're just considering some of the characteristics of this life of the age, and the body that we're going to have. Verse 35 says, "But some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?" Understandable. You know, the Sadducees, their concept of eternal life, and I think that's the concept of many, is that it is a continuation of this life, or this kind of life. Not at all. Not at all. Anyway, verse 36, "Thou fool, that which thou sows is not quickened or made alive except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain or a bare seed of grain, that it may chance of wheat or of some other. But God gives it a body of its own," is how we should read. "God gives it a body of its own as it hath pleased him. And to every seed," I'm sorry, it should be, "and to every seed a body of its own." So it would read, God gives it a body that as it hath pleased him, and to every seed a body of its own. You know, a wheat seed produces wheat, right? A corn seed produces tomatoes. No, it produces corn. It's a body of its own. "All flesh is not the same." It's not the same. "There's a kind of flesh of men, another kind of flesh of beasts, another of fish, another of birds. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. The glory of the celestial is one. The glory of the terrestrial or earthly is another." They're different. Completely different. "There is one glory of the sun, and there's another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor." This humiliated body we read in Philippians. "It's sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory." It'll be a body of glory. "It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power." See? "It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body." It's raised a spiritual body. "You have corruption as opposed to incorruption. Dishonor as opposed to glory. Weakness as opposed to power. Natural. This as opposed to spiritual." A spiritual body. "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made or became a life or became a living soul. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit." Okay. We've read earlier how Jesus Christ has the authority to give that life. "Howbeit, not that that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural." and afterward that which is spiritual. See? You remember we read in Revelation, I am he that was dead, but now liveth. See? The first man is of or was from the earth. Earthy. I love that word. The second man is from heaven. He's from God. The second man. You know, this is really beautiful. From God's perspective, to Adam, the last Adam. Adam who sinned, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, who won back everything the first Adam lost for mankind. That flesh, that soul life by way of Adam. That new life of the age from the last Adam, Jesus Christ. He's the firstborn from the dead. He is preeminent in all things. And the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to see it in just a moment. This is something new. This is brand new. There had never been anything like it. He's the firstborn out from the dead. This day have I begotten thee. He is a new type of mankind and the head of it. Isn't that something? See, this is a new thing. This is a new thing. A new creation. Something that had never been seen before. Before God created it in raising his son from the dead. Ha ha, the last Adam. And that's who we're in. Yeah, it's good stuff. Let's go to let's keep reading. As is the earthy, verse 48, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne or carried the image of the earthy, we shall also bear or carry the image, put on the image of the heavenly. The heavenly being that spiritual body. We're going to close here in just a minute because this is too much to do in one shot. But we're going to look at some more scriptures regarding this new body. We're going to look at some scriptures regarding that inheritance, a little bit of what we have to look forward to. And just a kind of a glimpse of the glory that's going to be revealed to us. It's really breathtaking, that life of the age. But I want to close for right now in 1 Corinthians. We're going to go down a few, verse 15. I'm just going to pick it up in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. You know, part of what's wrapped up in this great truth of Jesus Christ, the last Adam, there will never be another. He's it. He's the first and the last. He's it. Because what Jesus Christ has redeemed, what Jesus Christ has done, what he has won for us, for all who believe on him, will never, ever be undone. He's it. Now that is beyond what we're able to comprehend and understand. This kind of life is beyond what we're able to understand. The book of Revelation, when it talks about the New Jerusalem, it is describing a place where space isn't like we have space, because the city's as high as it is wide and long. What is that? I don't know, but we're not going to be disappointed. You know what? Check with me after the gathering, okay? We'll talk. That's all I can tell you. And otherwise, we just read what we read. But God gives us these little glimpses. It's really awesome. Verse 50. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. And this was something that was hid. This was something that the prophets didn't know about regarding this period of time. You know, when I read this, not that this is what was being revealed, not at all, but, you know, there's a wonderful scripture in the Gospels that talks about those that are first will be last, and those who are last will be first. The grace of God, which it does in the great scheme of things, doesn't make any difference. But, you know, the grace of God of being a part of this body of Christ and you know, being with Him from the point of the gathering together all the way through the ages, during which time it's going to take for God to display His grace to us in His kindness. And it begins with the gathering together. You know, thankful is not a cliche word. Never should be. Not for you and I. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You know, this great event is going to be announced. It's going to be loud. It's going to be known. It's going to be heard. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, because corruption cannot inherit incorruption. We can't imagine a life without corruption. This mortal must put on immortality, never to contemplate death again, ever. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying for the church that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And we'll read that probably next week. But then it says, O death, where is your sting? Where's your stinger? Grave, where's your victory? The sting, or the stinger of death, is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This victory is total. This victory is complete. It's done. It is done. We are currently citizens of heaven. That inheritance, and we'll look at this, but that inheritance will one day be fully realized. We will see it with our eyes in an incorruptible body. See? Isn't that something? So that's where I wanted to go this morning. I love you guys, and look forward to getting together. But even more than that, I look forward to our being gathered together. Okay? So I love you. Amen.